Okay, well, next show definitely has to be the Follow the Money radio show. This is a show that you just have to follow now. When there's money inside, you need to hear what it's all about. All right, and the fifth episode of this program right here on Comfort 95.1 FM. And I have the guys to tell us how to follow this morning. It's proudly brought to you by Oxfam. In case you're tuning in for the very first time, I'm just going to ask the guys here, all right, the gentleman and lady, to just, you know, behave like this is a first episode, so to say. We'll do a little bit of recap on what the show is all about. And then we focus on today's topic, which is environmental degradation, pollution, and its effects on livelihood of host communities. Residents. We have right here with us Kingsley Asukwo. Well, Kingsley Asukwo is actually expected. We hope that he makes it in time. We have Ubong Igbe, who is the state lead. And also right here is the very beautiful Okezie Jessica as well. Good morning to you and welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, listeners.
Good. All right, so we're here. Follow the Money radio show. Just talk to someone who seems like he or she's just listening for the very first time. Who's going to do that for us? Okay. All right, Ubong. Go ahead.
Okay. Follow the Money radio program. It's a radio program brought together by Connected Development with sponsorship from Oxfam. We are basically advocating for improvement in the communities around the extractive industry. We seek to be the voice of the marginalized community and push for improvement in the welfare of communities around the extractive industry, basically in our context, the oil and gas.
Okay. Oil and gas. All right. But when we hear follow the money, it almost seems like, you know, you want to show us where the money is.
Okay. So the idea behind follow the money is basically to highlight the funds that has been earmarked for developmental projects in the community and seek to ensure that those funds are being used judiciously for the purposes they were intended. So you find out that sometimes line items on the budget, maybe, for instance, you could find something like $100 million for renovation of XYZ public primary healthcare center, only for you to get to that location and realize that nothing had been done. So follow the money. We are a transparency and accountability civil society organization that seeks to ask questions around public finance management.
All right, that's great. Jessica is the communications officer of the Follow the Money Aquabum. So let's just find out, really, before we go to the main topic, Follow the Money, is it... what's your presence like? How long have we, you know, has Follow the Money been in existence and all that? Do we still come to you?
Okay,
Follow the Money. I want to hear with Jessica speaker. Okay, no problem. You talk now. Well, anyone you want her to talk, you can pass to her.
Follow the Money has been around for 9 years. We have presence.
9 years?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Our headquarters is in Abuja. We have presence in all the states in Nigeria.
Okay.
And we have presence in 9 African countries.
Wow. Yes, all right.
But in Akwa Ibom State, we've been around for 3 years.
All right, that's great. Okay, so let's go to the topic for today. Every week, obviously, the different topics, you know, that they address here. And today's topic is environmental degradation, pollution, and its effects on the livelihood of host communities. So I'll just hit it straight now. I guess this is where Jessica can talk, right? Yeah. What is environmental pollution as it relates to the extractive industry? Break it down for us.
Okay, so we get to understand that environmental pollution, this is the contamination of the Earth's physical and biological components. And we'd get to understand that with this, with the contamination of the Earth's surfaces by... toxic chemical waste, it reduces the ecosystem stability and the local biodiversity. And this local biodiversity is where host communities depend for their means of livelihood. And when we talk about environmental degradation, it's the deterioration of the environment, reducing its value and usefulness. And I would like to break down the environmental pollution as it relates to the extractives. We'd know that most oil exploration projects generate lots of fossil fuels, and taking it to air pollution, these fossil fuels that it releases increases the risk of members of the host community towards contacting respiratory and cardiovascular diseases.
Okay.
And if we'd want to take it to the soil where the earth consumes toxic wastes that are released by these oil-producing companies, when it reduces the biodiversity of the breeding areas, it causes vegetative hazards. And if the land is contaminated, I won't be able to cook.
There's some terms that you're using that, you know, a layman is like, okay, what is vegetative hazard?
Okay, let's say a ground has been contaminated by oil spillage.
Okay.
And I won't be able to cultivate the land, and this would lead to shortage of food. And if we want to take it to water where oil drilled waste, chemical toxic waste are driven into the water, it may be done consciously or unconsciously.
Okay.
And it increases the high mortality rate of aquatic animals. And you've noticed that where this the host of this oil producing companies are mostly riverine areas.
Yeah, of course.
And when this toxic waste gets to the water, and there's a high mortality rate of aquatic animals, fishermen won't have fishes to fish. There are no lands to cultivate. And this is increasing, you would see it increases unemployment.
Okay.
There will be shortage of food, leading to hunger. And if you want to also take it towards violence that these members of host communities also give. So if a hungry man is an angry man. So these are...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's quite explanatory. Can you buttress that for us?
Okay. So just to buttress that, environmental degradation has so many angles to it. So the first angle is from the angle of where basically they are of anthropogenic source. They don't just
Wait, what did you say again?
Anthropogenic source.
Break it down.
It originates from human activity.
Okay.
So it doesn't just happen. It's not a natural.
I know that sounds like anthropology, which is the study of evolution or whatever.
Evolution, yeah.
Okay.
So I want to come from the angle that it is a deterioration of the environment, reducing its value and usefulness to the inhabitants. So when your environment is degraded, it becomes useless. Your land that hitherto you would have cultivated and had means of livelihood is devastated, and the value is also diminished. You could also relate to it as a deleterious change in the chemical characteristics and physical property of a material due to exposure to hazardous substances. So the physical component of the land is altered.
All right.
The chemical structure is altered, and those parameters are necessary for the coexistence of your ecosystem.
So it doesn't sound like we're in class or anything, but hey, of course we're learning. All right, let's bring it home now. All this talk and all this spillage, is it happening? Is it, can we practicalize, can we localize it to any community that we think is going on right now? I mean, Kingsley was supposed to come talk about that, but can we just talk about some communities where this is actually happening right now?
Okay, we were monitoring oil spill incidents at Ibono local government.
Ibono?
Yes, it happened a few months ago.
Okay.
So the attention of NOSDRA was called to it. So NOSDRA with the community member.
And who is NOSDRA?
National Oil Spill Detection and Response Agency.
Okay. Just remember that anything you say here, explain it to us.
That's why you are here to help.
Okay, no problem.
So NOSDRA responded immediately, and we went to the site.
Okay.
We conducted what is called a JVI, Joint Investigation Visit to the site.
Okay.
So we were able to take pictures of the site, Then the agency, NASRA is the federal government agency whose mandate is specifically to identify areas of spillage and respond to it. So they took samples and went to the lab and conducted analysis. So there are some more spillage that are devastating. There are some that the effects are not so intense. So they did that analysis and came up with results. And there was a cleanup of that site. So
the when was the cleanup?
The cleanup was, two weeks, 2 weeks afterwards. But there are other areas, like in Eastern Obolo, there's a site where Shell had their facility, and the site is totally devastated. There was spillage. That ecosystem is not functional again. So you can't have arable crops cultivated.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, what is the situation now? As at today, in that area?
As at today, that site is completely abandoned, uninhabitable. So you just pass from there to wherever you go to, and nothing has been done.
Okay. And you're here to highlight that and see what can be done as well. So, the activities of the extractives, you know, how have these undermined the livelihood of the host community members? I mean, it's a long discussion. Let's talk about things that the host community have been unable to do because of these activities. Jessica.
Okay. If we notice, the activities of the activities of oil exploiting companies, it's like a vicious circle. It goes round the clock and it never ends. And it generates pollution, there's fueling, and there's also climate change. And if we notice over the years, the federal government has actually, they've prioritized the production of fossil fuels over habitats conservation and reservation. And this has, over the years, it has increased the level of oil spillages, gas flaring and venting, discharge of drilled chemical waste. And these activities have affected members of the host communities. If you would notice, there's, aside from the heightened level of unemployment, you would also notice that it has reduced the economic visibility of farmers and producers in those areas. So let's say I'm a farmer and or I'm a fisherman, and I have I have a market of say 5,000 persons, and this is hypothetically, I'm not saying
well,
it's,
it
and,
could be possible, you know.
And because of this environmental degradation that has been caused by toxic waste by this oil producing companies, say I have high demand.
Those are the extractives.
Yes, I have high demands of fishes, but because of the fact that the water has been contaminated, I don't have enough proceeds, or I don't have enough products to give back to this my presumed customers or people that are supposed to give back money for my product.
That's right.
So, and this it keeps making members of this host communities, they are impoverished. The level of poverty keeps increasing, because there's willingness to work for this money, there's willingness to go to the farm, but if my lands are contaminated, I'm just left with basically nothing, just hopes.
Okay.
And if you would also...
And hope cannot put food on the
no,
table.
Obviously it can't. And if we want to also take it aside the whole farming and fishing, if we'd want to talk about tourism, because these communities, they have seasides. Yeah, there should be other means of livelihood for members of these host communities. And nobody wants to go to an area that has contaminated water air, so it reduces sources of income.
So I'll just chip in 2 points there. There's this incidence of air pollution when the oil exploration is taking place. You find the fumes, and when they inhale these fumes, it reduces the lifespan of members of those communities.
Okay.
And there's also incidence of where the roofing sheets in their homes are deteriorated because of these petrochemical fumes.
Okay.
So the life expectancy of residents within that community is reduced because of what they are inhaling on daily basis.
which is very, very a serious issue. Well, we'll just take this message. We'll be right back. We'll open up the phone lines. And there's a kind of ring I need to, you know, some explanation about, you know. Lots of people are involved in doing this thing for humanity, of course. Talking about our friends here at the forefront of it, you know, Follow the Money and Code. We'll talk a lot more about that. But let's get this message. We'll be right back.
Comfort 95.1 FM. Uyo.
Many, many things they happen, no. If you don't know, you go just they suffer. Many, many things they happen, no. If you don't know, you go just they cry. Some community they don't get the water. Some community they don't get the school. Some community they no primary care. And that is why we for control. We dey follow the money. Join us now, make it all lost. Make we follow the money. Join us now, make it all lost. Make we follow the money. Oh yeah.
FM, Uyo.
It's the tunes on the beat.
It's a company 95.1 FM. Just roughly 10 minutes to go on the Follow the Money show. And I did tell our friends here that they should treat today's topic as, you know, just in case someone is bumping in for the first time on the show. What's it all about? They've talked about it. It's a sort of advocacy program, you know, and every single episode addresses a different issue. And today we're talking about environmental degradation, pollution, its effects on livelihood of host community residents. If you're just joining in, then you missed out, you know, lots of explanation about this topic. And we'll just take it from there, hopefully. Well, in summary, if you are in a community where there is environmental degradation or pollution, would need you to call in. That's just what's been discussed this morning. And I have with me, once again, of course, Ubong Ekbe, who's the state leader, Follow the Money, and also Okezie Jessica, who is the communications officer, Follow the Money, Kwaibom State. They're actually under an umbrella body, which is the Connected Development. What's the relationship, though? Let's get an explanation on that. Connected Development, Follow the Money.
Okay, so Connected
Development. And then Oxfam.
Connected Development is an NGO.
Okay.
And Follow the Money is an activity that we carry
of
out.
Of the NGO.
Of the NGO.
Okay.
While Oxfam is the organization that is sponsoring what we are doing.
All right, then. Okay. So if they are going to contact you, are they going to contact Connected Development or Follow the Money?
Any of them will fly.
Yes. All right, so these, you know, vices, these issues have been spelled out. Jessica has talked about it. You've talked about it. We all know it's bad. Everybody there knows, of course, you know, it's a big issue. All right. We've talked about how the activities of the extractives have undermined the livelihood of host community members. We've talked about oil spillage. You've mentioned some places in Imo as well that has happened too. Now, so what efforts? I mean, we have to mention government in this. What efforts can government or has government, you know, made to alleviate the plights of the residents, the inhabitants of these communities?
Okay, well, the effort they have made so far is the passage of the Petroleum Industry Bill,
okay,
which is now an act. So what government can do to ameliorate the or alleviate the plights of residents in this host community is basically, number one, to enforce the extant laws around the operation of oil and gas companies. So some companies are flaring gases, and there are laws that stipulate penalties for flaring of gases. There are laws that stipulate penalties.
So they're not really enforced.
Yes, they are not enforced. Number two, government has the duty to regularly monitor the activities of these companies to ensure that they conform to international best practice. So if the government does not engage in the check and balance of the operation, there's that likelihood that they would operate in ways that are not responsive to the community members. Governments should also increase economic development projects in this host community. So you find an oil-producing community where there are no health centers, there are no schools.
That's a sacrilege, man.
It's terrible. Then we also have situations where an oil company is domiciled in your community. You have people from other states that are working there, but indigenes of those communities are not employed.
Mm.
So if government can put up, of course, there's a law called Local Content Act,
okay,
that stipulates that in the extractive, members of the community should be employed. Even the contract, a certain percentage should be given to this guy. So it's a responsibility of government at the subnational level, at the national level as well, to enforce these laws.
Subnational will be state level, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, in essence, you're calling out the state government.
I'm calling out the state government, Ministry of Environment, State House of Assembly, Committee on Petroleum.
Okay.
These are the statutory bodies that are saddled with the responsibility of addressing these issues.
Mm. Okay. All right. Jessica, you want to add to that before we open up the phone lines? We'll be interested in hearing from you. Akwaibom is an oil producing state, so these issues will not be foreign to any communities. So we'll open up the phone lines in a bit. Can we go ahead?
Okay, so in addition to what he has said, the government should also try to regulate the increment of income benefits of members of those host communities. Because if you're checking the activities of this...
Are you sure that's not happening? I mean, government might tell you, we're doing so much. They're getting a lot of things.
There are lots of conspiracy theories and propagandas that I wouldn't want to, you know, talk about. But even if the government claims that they are doing so much, how come members of these communities are still impoverished? Because if you're claiming you're doing something, there should be an evidence that, okay, let's say they've been, they were down low, say, 6%, and you're claiming you've done something. Even after over a period of a month or two, if you're really judicious to what you're doing, it should increase from 6 to at least 7%.
Well, maybe the strategy they're using, what if they say, oh, we give their leaders? And the leaders,
maybe they should try to re-strategize and use members and not the leaders, and using members of this host communities, because okay, I'm wearing the shoe and I know where it's biting me.
Okay. All right, let's see if we can get some calls here very quickly. But you know, you can always contact Follow the Money and Connected Development personally for issues like this. But 0818-889-951 0906-000-8951. If we get one call, it's okay to tell us what's happening in your community. You heard what they said as well. Do you agree with them? The government needs to do more. I reckon lots of people would agree with that. All right, so once again, 0818-889-951. I think we have a call here. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Welcome.
Yeah, my name is Victor Itrechio.
Okay. You're calling from where?
I'm calling you from Mpanak Ibno, Akwaibom State.
Mpanak Ibno. We talked about Ibno here today. You have 30 seconds to tell us what you think about what's been said.
Yes, a very big applause to Planet FM, Comfort FM, on what they're trying to do.
It's actually our friend from Follow the Money. Yeah. Do you agree with what they've said about Ibono and what needs to be done, right?
The problem is actualization. They say a lot of things on paper, but the actualizing it is the problem.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not it. We don't have time to elucidate on that, or collaborate or elaborate. But can you just drop a contact? People want to get in touch with you now.
Okay.
Yes, quickly.
080-3489-3061.
Okay.
Then you can also log in to ifollowthemoney.org. So I capital, alphabet I, okay. Small, then followthemoney.org.
Next Friday is another time, all right? Ubonwikwe, thank you very much, State Lead, Follow the Money. And, of course, we also have Jessica Okezie, who is the communications head of Follow the Money at Kwabam State. All right, stick around. It's back-to-back action right here on Comfort 95.1 FM. And up next is Uyo Senatorial District today with Anika Nodosen. Stick around.